Amen. In Hebrews 11, there is a list of men and women who are listed as examples of the faith. Faith is described and illustrated as being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things that we cannot see, living by faith in the one who has promised. And one of those heroes of the faith is Sarah. And we want to look at her life today and think about her example of faith. One thing we should always notice when it comes to heroes and heroines is that they are flawed people, that they are imperfect, that they have failures and shortcomings. And yet they are people who found grace. And that is at the center of what we want to say this morning. We find that not only in heroes in history in our current day, but in biblical history, we find that those heroes were just simple men and women like you and I, yet they found grace and were used by God. That should encourage us as Christians. There are chapters that perhaps you might want to skip over, but those chapters are woven into the biblical account. This is something amazing about the Bible. It doesn't gloss over the history. But there it is, that chapter and that chapter, highlighting the times of trouble, of trial, of personal failure, of conflict, of separation, of difficulties. It's all woven in there. And don't you love that? Because that is life. Life is not a perfect path through the flower fields with the sun shining and the birds singing. Life is woven together with all types of troubles and difficulties. And yet as Christians, we realize that finding grace along the way is the key to our lives. Now, if you are perfect this morning, if you're a perfect mother or father with a perfect family, then this message might not apply to you so much. You can just be thankful you're not like the rest of us. Because we all realize that we are sinners. And that's all that God has to deal with, and that's all that God has to use. People who are flawed, imperfect sinners, but available to the grace of God. And God can do so much with people like that. This is real life Christianity. So let's jump in, and we're going to skate through some of these chapters, starting in chapter 12 with God's calling and covenant towards Abraham. And it was a covenant or a promise that dealt with the land and the seed and the blessing. And in verse 5, then Abram took Sarai, and of course it's Abraham and Sarah, their names are changed in chapter 17, but Abraham and Sarah, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions and all they gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. Now, we often focus on Abraham, understandably, but also Sarah, his wife, at this time was 65 years old, also stepping into the unknown, honoring the call of God on her husband's life and walking by faith herself, discovering her own call in this time, leaving her family, her roots, her wealth, her position, whatever, and following her crazy husband who said, oh, you know, God has promised. And people perhaps asking, where are you going? Oh, we're going to go to, you know, that direction somewhere. But where are you going? I don't know. Well, what does your husband say? He doesn't know either. He just says it's a land that God will show him. Abraham, where are we going? It's called the promised land. Okay, well, that sounds good. So off they go. And they come to Canaan, and they make it to the promised land, and as soon as they do, they face a famine. Verse 20, now there was a famine in the land. And we say, wait a minute, this is the promised land. And yet we come and we face a famine so quickly. And as Christians, we also face these harsh elements of life. right? We face these troubles. These, you know, although it's the promised land, we still face troubles in it. The enemy is there, the conflict is there, the famines are there. We might say, wait, I didn't think it was supposed to go this way. But life has its turns that are unexpected. We might have an idea about how life might be. But when we face the famine, we may second guess our life, our questions, our decisions, and say, I wonder if I shouldn't have made that turn, if we shouldn't have made that decision. We begin to second guess and can even live in regret. Maybe we should have stayed in Ur or stayed in Haran. Why did we come here to Canaan? But you know what? There's trouble in Ur and trouble in Haran and trouble in Canaan. This is life. It's not perfect. This is our first point, that life is not perfect. But it's where we find grace. And then we come to see that Abraham wasn't a perfect husband. Ladies, can I hear an amen? Not a perfect husband. Verse 20, Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe. And by the way, there's no evidence that his decision was based on faith. Verse 11, and it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Oh, you are so beautiful, Sarah. And perhaps she's, oh, thank you, Abraham. And the sun is setting over the sand dunes, and there they are with the camels silhouetted in the sun on the sunset. And she's looking into his eyes. You're so beautiful, Sarah. Oh, yes, but there's more. There's more. Look what he says. And therefore it will happen when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will let you live. So please say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, of course, Sarah, for your sake, it will be well with me, that I may live because of you. And all of a sudden, the music in the background stops, and she's like, what? And he's like, don't you understand? We're talking about you saving my life. Now, of course, this was a different time, a different culture, but however way you look at it, this wasn't good. He wasn't looking out for his wife. He certainly wasn't acting in faith and honoring God. You can see that he was an imperfect husband. This is Abraham, the father of our faith. And yet there's a doubt, natural thinking that is coming into play, self-preservation. And we understand this is perhaps our next point, that marriage is not perfect. Your spouse is not perfect. That when we get married, it's two sinners who are joined together. What do we expect that can happen there? We think about the vows that say for better, for richer, in health, only death will separate us. But we also understand that in those vows are for worse, for poorer, in sickness, right? That marriage isn't perfect. We maybe have an idealistic picture of it. But in the promised land, there's trouble. Perhaps in marriage, there's trouble and conflict. And maybe young people get married and they have trouble and they're ready to throw in the towel so quickly. But it takes some work. It takes some focus. It takes grace, we would say, as believers, that we must find grace for one another. Yeah, Ruth Graham was asked, all of the years you've been married, all through the decades, have you ever thought about divorce? And she said, divorce, no. Murder, yes. And of Billy Graham, he said, you know what? Marriage, a successful marriage, is two people continually forgiving one another. In other words, in marriage, in an imperfect marriage with imperfect people, we must find grace for one another. It is the oil to the machinery. Marriage is not perfect, all but grace. There is grace there. And then verse 1 of chapter 13, Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all they had, and Lot with them. And Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold. Oh, this is looking good. Things are looking up. They are materially blessed and wealthy. But then even in that, there is friction between Lot's men and their men. Even in a time of great prosperity and wealth, where we would think, oh, if only I had that, then everything would be okay. But here we see trouble also was not perfect. They had to separate their ways. Oh, but there was grace. There was a redemptive plan that God was with them even in that. In chapter 14, we see the Mesopotamian kings come into the region. And they defeat Sodom and take the people away, including Lot and his wife. So Abraham, with 318 of his servants, pursue. Now take pause and think about Sarah. She's at home. She's in the tent or wherever, and she's hearing Abraham. They're getting off. And he's going to pursue to get Lot back. And she's thinking, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for the promised land. And now there's my husband galloping off on a camel across the horizon. He's going to war. He could lose his life. He could lose everything. It can be such troubles. Oh, but there is grace where there is trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the sea, God is with us, right? God is with us. There is grace where there is trouble. And we do see that Abraham comes back and he brings the goods and he brings Lot, and it's awesome in the end. But nevertheless, there is trouble and difficulty that faces us. Chapter 15, the years pass, the doubts are coming. So God reaffirms the covenant to Abraham. He says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Take that in, Abraham. Listen, I am your great exceeding reward. I am your shield. And Abraham said, oh, Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Let him be my heir. So this is Abraham's plan after the years are going by. He says, listen, his Eliezer, he's my servant. Let him be my heir. Abraham faltering in his faith. Both Abraham and Sarah had faults and shortcomings. But listen, we're talking about the patriarchs. We're talking about Abraham, the father of our faith, and Sarah to become the mother of nations. And they had their faults. They were made of the dust. They were sinners. They had their doubts. They would be wavering in the wind. And I don't know about you, but I find that encouraging, because God is not looking for perfect people, because he knows that there are none. But he's looking for you and for me, those who may be available to his grace despite our shortcomings. Because God does not call you and use you because of your a lack of imperfection, but he calls you and uses you despite those imperfections. That's what grace means. That's what grace is. So Abraham presents his plan. What about Eliezer? Look at this fine young strapping lad. Surely he can be my heir. God answers, verse 4, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and he said, look to heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. So Abraham goes out, he looks up at the stars. This is when Abraham believed, by the way. Now, in chapter 16, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. Now the camera swings over to Sarah, and we see what's going on in her heart and life as the years are going by. She's getting older, she's barren, she has no children, and that's such a challenge for any couple. and we pray and we consider our options and we try and we put it before God, and we've seen God come through and do amazing things, but we pray, and that's so difficult. But particularly in the ancient Middle East, it was very serious for a man to be childless, and subsequently for his wife to be childless. So she is struggling with her faith. We can see an imperfect life, an imperfect spouse, an imperfect faith. We can relate to that. We can relate to that, can't we? Because we know the promises. We have our statement of faith. We have our theology. All but when it's tested, when the years go by, when we are faced with difficulties, or we can sense perhaps times where our faith wavers and we find questions rising in our hearts. 10 years had passed since they left Ur to the promised land. And we see she had plan herself, Abraham's plan, Eleazar, and now her plan, Hagar. She had a maidservant, verse 2 of chapter 16. Look, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. This is Sarah's plan. Now, this was culturally accepted as a custom of the day, that if there was childlessness, that perhaps this could be an option, that through the maid, they could have a child. But this wasn't God's way or God's will or God's timing for Abram and Sarah. They seemed to be trying to scheme to obtain the heir, to work by their own means, their own timetable, to see this happen. It wasn't in faith. And what is the result? Ishmael was the result. And if you read the chapter, there is grief for the family. And this is perhaps our next point, that the family is not perfect. We perhaps know in our imagination what the ideal perfect family should be. The perfect dream, and probably there's a white picket fence in there somewhere, and you know, the whole picture of the, you know, the dog, and we all live happily ever after. But life doesn't always pan out that way. The reality is often that there is friction and trouble. There is room for trouble, and that's what happened here. There was some conflict. It really didn't end well for anyone. Hagar was despised by Sarah. Sarah dealt harshly with her, and Hagar was cast out with her son. You don't have to spend too much time with people when you sit down and talk to someone and you begin to share things from each other's lives. You discover that life is not perfect, that there are troubles, there are broken homes, there are conflicts, there are tragedies, there is sickness. All this is why it's so wonderful to be evangelical Christians with hearts and prayers for people. For people's lives are broken. People have discovered that life is not perfect, and they have had a lot of trouble. Oh, but they can find grace. Maybe we can't redo our lives, but God can redeem our lives. God weaves it all together for his good. We might want to gloss over this chapter, right? Chapter 16. Or let's just go from chapter 15, where God reaffirms the covenant and Abraham believes. Let's just skip right to chapter 17, where God reaffirms the covenant again, saying, oh, she will be the mother of nations. But what? No, chapter 16 is there. And you and I, we may very well have a chapter 16 in our lives, or a few chapters, or in our mothers' lives, or in our fathers' lives. We see that they had a chapter 16, and they had a chapter 16, and that affected me. And that can be very hard. But that is life, isn't it? That we can all have our chapter 16s. We can all have our times where we fell short, where people got hurt because of it. And that is life. It is imperfect. It is painful. But listen, oh, there is grace. And where there is grace and forgiveness that can be expressed, how powerful that can be. How do we make sense of it all? I don't know about you, but as the years go by, as you get older, you can to 16s and see the issues and see the problems, and you second guess it and think, oh, if only I hadn't done that, if I hadn't done this, if I hadn't gone there or signed up for this or met that, but whatever. But you can't go there. You can't do that. How do you reconcile it? I've been there many times thinking about things that have happened where I got hurt and I and the things that happen, and you think, well, how do you reconcile it? And you realize, well, that's part of life. God is woven together. It's you got chapter 15 and chapter 16, chapter 17. The story of Joseph, all those chapters, they are in there. And you got the good and the bad, and you weave it together, and then you have the redemptive work of God and God's grace. And just like a Turkish carpet, as they make it, you see one side is all knots, and it doesn't. There's no beauty to it, no seeming order to it. But it's only when the carpet is turned around and you see the finished product and how beautiful it is. But there's a work in the process to bring that to the end. And perhaps we won't see that side of the carpet, this side of glory, I don't know. But one day we will understand his redemptive plan. And as believers who are Bible taught, Spirit taught believers, we can understand that now to some measure, that God's redemptive plan is at work. As Christians, we can see redemption through it all, right? And now we go to chapter 17. And chapter 17, we see that she would still become the mother of nations. She wasn't disqualified. It wasn't over. But God comes back and reaffirms the covenant again. When Abraham was 99 years old, and she is 90, by the way, at this point, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Now, if we would look at that in its raw, the raw material of it, here is a man who's 99 years old. And it's just him and his wife and their possessions and their tents. And God is saying, I will make you the father of many nations. He changes his name. Your name will no longer be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, which means father of many nations. And what about Sarah? Verse 15. And then God said to Abram, and as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but her name will be Sarah, for she will be the mother of many nations. And here is the crowning verse for Sarah in verse 16. God says, I will bless her. I will bless her. Oh, it hasn't been perfect. Life hasn't been perfect. The marriage hasn't been perfect. The faith hasn't been perfect. But God says, I will bless her. We could say that, oh, life is not perfect, but it's blessed. Oh, if we can say that, that's amazing. He says, I will also give her a son, give you a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Wow. The mother of the royal line of David, the mother of kings, the mother of nations. Imperfect people. But God's grace, blessed by grace, used by God. And this is the story of the Bible. It's not perfect people or good people, but it is imperfect people, blessed people, found by grace, used by God. And we could look to our families today, and we could say, oh, it's not perfect. Oh, but it's blessed. And if the blessing of God is there, how amazing that is. It says that of the woman in Proverbs 31, that her husband and her children shall call her blessed. Now, Abraham's great faith response here. God once again, chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 7, once again, God is saying, listen, Abraham, I will make you the father of nations. Have you got it? And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, may Ishmael live before you. He's still not getting it. He's the father of our faith, and he's still looking to another option with Ishmael. God says, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, who Sarah shall bear to you this time next year. Now in chapter 18, we're almost done. God visits them and he comes to Abraham, and it's in the wilderness and the tents are set up and his encampment is there. And he says, where is Sarah, your wife? And he says, oh, she's here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And it says that Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. She's, you know, cleaning the dishes. She's listening. And he makes sure that she can hear every word. Your wife, Sarah, will have a son. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Remember, she was 65 when they left Ur. Many years have passed. She's now 90 years old. 25 years have passed. And all that promise seems so distant. And verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, just like Abraham had laughed. Now Sarah laughed, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure of my Lord being old also? And we say, we totally understand that. We just read the story together. We understand the years, the impossibility of it all. But we will always doubt when our focus is on the circumstances. But God is not limited by physical restrictions. Verse 13, God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely have a child since I am old? And then the Lord poses this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the word there for hard could be translated wonderful or beautiful. Oh, listen, is there anything too wonderful, too beautiful, too difficult for the Lord? In other words, all things are possible for me. Why did she laugh? Why did you laugh, Abraham? Jeremiah 32:17 says, oh, there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. You have made the heavens and the earth. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord. So God says, why do you laugh? Nothing is impossible. At the appointed time, verse 14, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Listen, it obviously wasn't according to your timetable, Abraham, and your timetable, Sarah. And there have been lots of troubles and difficulties, but I have a plan for you. And Sarah says, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, oh, but you did laugh. And do you think we ever laugh? Do you think we ever have unbelief in our life? Have you ever been praying for something, but there's something in your heart is also saying, I'm praying, I can hear myself praying, but I don't really believe it. And as I thought about that, I remembered one time we were here and the church was full, and I said, does anyone have a prayer request? And my daughter, Emily, it was last summer, she raised her hand. I said, yes, Emily. And she said, can we pray that our friends can come from Budapest to Croatia? Remember the pandemic and the lockdowns, and it seemed impossible. Could they come from Hungary and meet us in Croatia? And I said, oh, okay, let's pray for that. And in my heart, it was 2 days before we were going, and they already told us they weren't going to go. They couldn't make it. And I prayed and said, oh, okay, let's pray. And in my heart, I'm thinking, oh, that's not going to happen. But it happened. Do we ever laugh? Do we ever waver in our faith? Do we ever chuckle on the inside? But is there anything too wonderful and too hard for the Lord? And maybe it doesn't happen our way or our timetable. Maybe life doesn't pan out the way we think it does. But can't we rest in knowing that God knows, that God is loving, that God is faithful, that he has his plan, his way, his timetable, and he's weaving the carpet, and one day we'll say, oh, I understand. At the time, I just saw that knot that was being tied, but now I understand how beautiful it is. We will see God's redemptive hand and God's work, and now we live by faith. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 11, looking to Sarah, one of the heroes of the faith, it says, by faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful. Yes, she wavered. Yes, she laughed. Yes, there was unbelief. Yes, there was imperfection. But this is what's noted, that she made that judgment in her heart, that she believed him to be faithful. And therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born many as the stars in multitude, innumerable as sand which is on the seashore. She made a judgment that he is faithful. Therefore, because of Sarah, and of course Abraham's faith also, it's mentioned Romans 4:21, being fully convinced that he who had promised was able. But so did Sarah. They wavered, they were imperfect, but they also believed. So we close with Genesis 21, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, and at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, it mentions there in emphasis, Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. And Sarah says in verse 6, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. And this laughter was different. This wasn't the laughter of unbelief, but this was the laughter that was rejoicing in the faithfulness of God, rejoicing in the promise, recognizing our imperfections, but recognizing his great grace, recognizing how unworthy we are, that if we looked at our history, oh, we would disqualify ourselves. We would say, oh, but chapter 16. And God would say, no, chapter 15, chapter 17, my grace, my promise, my faithfulness to you. And in our lives and our families and our marriages with our children, right down in the dirt of life, we find grace and we say, God is faithful. Amen. So, Father, we pray this morning. We pray you'd use these words to encourage our hearts. Oh, we can sometimes we just beat ourselves up with our shortcomings and with our failures, how we sense that our faith is not perfect, our lives are not perfect. Oh, but your grace is sufficient. Your grace is extended to us every day. And we do take a moment to pray for our families, for our children. We pray for mothers, especially today, and fathers, our families. We pray for our loved ones, our friends, our church. And we just ask for your grace to be made so evident in our lives that we would see it. That where we are weak, oh, we will be made strong. Where we were unable, we will be made able. And we just trust you for your grace. We pray for each one listening. If you're listening today, you're not sure of your salvation, or in your heart say, Jesus, save me today. I want to be a Christian. I want to know you. Come into my life. Lead me. Convince me. And for each one, we seal this time with prayer, ask you to bless it to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you once again. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers listening, all of our families. Bless your families today. And join us on Wednesday if you can. We have our Galatians series Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Don't forget, we're reopening as a church on April the 4th, which is Easter Sunday. We're going to have two different meetings that morning, and we're really looking forward to that. So sign up if you haven't signed up, and we so look forward to being together for that time. So God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.